We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy St. Patrick's Day, wherever you are this morning. I hope your day is off and running to a great green start. A huge crowd downtown on Saturday for the St. Patrick's Day parade. So, it seems not a letdown, but you have such a big, huge event on Saturday. You got to continue the fun on Sunday and Monday, but I have seen some good lines at some of the Irish bars around downtown Milwaukee this morning. So, always good to see. It's interesting. We were at the parade on Saturday. And, for Lent, I'm giving up alcohol and just diving into the NAs a little bit more. The Guinness NA, if you're going to go that route today, tastes exactly like the original. I mean, it's same head, just a really good, robust taste. A four-pack, if you're looking at the prices on the Guinness NA, you could get it for about $8.75, depending on where you're buying it. But you get those big 14.9-ounce cans of Guinness. Good stuff for this St. Patrick's Day, for sure. So we're always ready to start the week on Mondays with Dave Spano from the CEO at Annex Wealth Management. Dave will join us. I saw in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend that this was an exact quote, that consumers are starting to freak out. And I'm not really sure I 100% buy into this, but there's some new numbers out this morning. So I'm going to ask Dave about the uncertainty in the consumer realm and what consumer sentiment we're all feeling right now. I do get a sense, though, from a travel standpoint, people are still traveling. They're still booking trips, and they are ready to go for spring break. So we're going to take that travel lens from the bus view when Brad Wallace from Go Right Way Transportation Group joins us later in the show. Go Right Way was founded in 1957. It's run by third generation, still family managed, 1,600 employees here in Wisconsin and around the region. 25 plus locations across the Midwest too. So I'm excited to talk to Brad just about the changes in the travel space and how they continue to look at their business and grow it. Let's talk about growth a little bit. Two exciting things coming up as we do each and every morning. Let's go to Up.
Now is time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two Up on the Upswing.
Two Up, two things in the business world that I'm seeing topped off downtown. Northwestern Mutual's downtown Milwaukee office tower redevelopment passed a big milestone on Friday. It topped off its 18-story building, a topping off ceremony. It's when that last beam is placed on the top of a structure during construction. It's a $500 million project right at the corner of Mason and Wells Street. It will be completed in 2027. The company is going to move its employees from Franklin, about 2,000 employees, to the downtown campus. This building was originally opened in 1990, kind of been all stripped down to the core and rebuilt into a 32-story office tower that will be open. That was open in 2017. Now the new one will be open in 2027. The project includes $30 million in TIF financing. Northwestern Mutual must meet some job growth targets that include at least 5,700 full-time employees at the downtown campus by the year 2030. Just out this morning, Pepsi is making a pop. Pepsi has agreed to purchase healthy, a little quote around healthy, but it is healthier, healthy soda maker Poppy for nearly $2 billion. Kind of the latest sign that the sector of functional beverages and soda, far from fizzling. On top of the net purchase price, the deal includes $300 million of anticipated cash tax benefits, according to CNBC. Pepsi's acquisition follows its decision to cancel its own functional soda, which was going to be called Soul Boost, amid signs that it just... It was going to be a hard route to launch a new brand in the lower sugar prebiotic Pepsi kind of healthy living soda space. So Pepsi said, you know what? Let's go out and buy somebody who's already doing it well. Pretty interesting. The transaction obviously is subject to customary closing conditions, including regulatory approval. But Poppi is a big brand, started in a kitchen, rose all the way through Shark Tank, got its initial investment, and is now doing really, really well. We'll be interested to see, of course, when Pepsi makes a move. What's Coke going to do? A lot of new functional soda brands out there. I think we'll probably see and hear something from Coke in the coming weeks. You never know, but the healthy soda space and the functional beverage space, definitely more than a trend here in 2025. When we come back, Dave Spano and I will dive in to what the consumers are thinking, and we're going to take a look at the national debt and its impact on how we spend. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. Dave, happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Indeed. A festive day for sure. I like how the holiday just extends across, what, two weekends and, you know, people... hit the bars early, maybe a little happy hour, and just make it festive.
St. Practice Day, Saturday and Sunday, before St. Patty's Day.
That's right, yes. We like to practice a lot in the wonderful state of Wisconsin. So I wanted to, Dave, kind of get our arms around the state of the U.S. consumer. I mean, it seems like consumer sentiment is falling as there's uncertainty ahead, but there's always uncertainty. What are we seeing in terms of retail sales numbers this morning, and how can we best understand kind of the state of mind of the consumer today?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Obviously, there's a lot of factors that are contributing to the shift. So obviously, inflation concerns. So the idea that tariffs will be inflationary is causing some concern. You know, there's stabilizing factors to that, and I understand people's concern because that was one of the reasons why when we had an election, it was such a big part of the conversation. Number two, economic uncertainty, as you point out, are out there. And so it does appear that there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And then that leads into spending patterns. And so if consumers are becoming more selective with their spending, that slows down GDP. But what I'd like to point out, Jeff, is that people are political animals. The University of Michigan breaks out consumer sentiment by political affiliation, and Democrats are pessimistic. In fact, they haven't been this pessimistic in a long time. Conversely, Republican sentiment is pretty normal. So you look at the huge difference of opinions on what tariffs are going to do, what the end game is, how they get fed by the media, and it certainly is having an effect. We'll see an updated GDP number. The Atlanta Fed report comes out, and it was negative. It was negative 2%.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to update that this morning because, remember, we talked about last week that there is this thing where people have all of this incoming products that come into the United States. Well, some of that was gold, and so now they have to take that out of there. And so we're going to see this GDP number go up today as soon as we see the Atlanta Fed release its new number.
Yeah, I saw this morning that seven of its 13 categories posted decreases. Notably, motor vehicles are in that space,
autos,
too.
Yep.
Yeah, that people just aren't buying as many cars. But that's kind of a first quarter thing typically anyway.
It is. Well, you had fires, obviously in California. It's super cold weather around the United States, and I don't think people wanted to stand in a car lot when it was 20 below zero. So, that generally normals out, and you get more of an average, but that's exactly what we saw out of that report this morning.
And to your point on kind of the politics of spending, I want to talk about debt a little bit. How are we best to understand deficit spending and the impacts of the national debt on the economy? Because we don't hear a lot of it from President Trump right now, but is it impacting kind of how we spend money day to day?
Yeah, and again, you know, Trump says one thing. I think you should listen to the secretaries as well. Scott Bessent has been pretty articulate about the point. So just a real primer on this is that if we take in a certain amount of revenue, which comes generally from taxation, for example, and then they spend, well, they're spending almost 7% more than they're taking in. That's the deficit. And all of that shortcomings, that deficit, that turns into debt. And that goes on top of this $36 trillion of debt. So if they would slow down the deficit spending to a more normal level, I mean, this 6.7 to 7% deficit is something that you would see in a war or a deep recession, and we're in neither one of those. And so deficit spending should be brought in. And if that comes, you know, somewhere to where the GDP number is, call it 3%, the deficit spending wouldn't get out of control. But with all of this debt, what you're having right now is, you know, people are talking about $36 trillion in debt. And what does that mean? I mean, it's not like you, like, for example, you can't do that, right? unless you can print money and have an Air Force, and maybe Jeff Sherman does. But, you just can't pay off Jeff Sherman debt with Jeff Sherman currency.
Right.
Right? So they can print money and they can do all these things, but they should bring down some of this deficit spending. And we're seeing Doge talk about some of this stuff right now, and I know it's politically unpopular, but, you know, companies go through right-sizing, and maybe that's what's happening right now. We're getting right-sized in some of these places that could be politically inflammatory, but that is really the thought.
Exactly, and I think that's what people are trying to get their arms around. You know, unlike personal debt, of course, you know, government debt kind of operates differently. Because governments, they have the ability to tap into the currency. So it's hard for people to really understand the global impact, but it does impact us day to day, without a doubt. When we come back, more with Dave. You have two big seminars coming up soon. I want to talk about the unique challenges around retirement and being single in our golden years. This is The Upswing. You are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, looking at you and your money this morning with Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. Dave, I want to talk a little bit about retirement and kind of the differences of aging, you know, with a spouse and aging without a spouse, and what those considerations look like as we look at our portfolios.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, we're seeing a larger percentage of people that have either never been married or are single today. And so you think about what that's going to look like. For example, you know, caregivers, you know, wage disparities between men and women, you know, earnings differences between the two and benefits. So all of this comes into play. You know, you need support from financial advisors, attorneys, and more. And you just think about, for example, if you're in your home by yourself and something happens, I mean, you don't want to be Gene Hackman there laying there for 9 days, days that he was there. So that is the reason why, you know, having someone else in the house and being with you and helping you care for yourself and others is really important. You know, I just came up with that Gene Hackman thing, but here we are. Hoosier basketball, right? It's March Madness. Coach Norman Dale.
That's right. He was our guy. Yes. Hoosier's a great movie. I mean, looked at so many facets of life, right, and just, right, you know, the ups and downs, and all the basketball scenes though are so similar in that movie. When you really rewatch it, you're like, whoa, that's the same scene over and over.
Hey, Shooter had one of the great lines of all time, if you remember. He goes, 3-2-1, let her fly, in and out, but I was fouled. So I use that every time I miss a shot, I was fouled.
yes. But keep shooting. Always
exactly.
Keep shooting.
Keep firing.
Yes. So, Dave, we're heading into the summer season. You can taste it a little bit. We got a good taste this weekend, and a lot of families around Wisconsin have smaller cottages or lake homes or maybe investment properties. What are the basics from a family lens when you're looking at multiple family members that inherit a vacation home? I mean, that probably there's a lot of excitement there, but there's a lot that goes into it then.
Yeah, there's no question, because you have to have the conversation. There are some kids who don't want it. I mean, they just don't want to go. They don't want to get in the water in cold October and try to pull that pier out. They have no interest in that, right? Or driving up north and then they have to cut the lawn there when they just cut it. So you have to have these open dialogues, and do you want it? Now, some people do. And if you do, what's the ownership? What's the structure? Should it be in a limited liability company? Should it be in a trust? Should it be joint tenancy? These are the first questions you need to have. And then the second question would be, you know, if it's shared, what's the usage schedule? Who's going to pay the taxes? Who's responsible for maintenance and repairs? So you have to have this plan. You have to get it out, because it's emotional. You think about, listen, this was mom and dad's
right.
cottage, and they put, you know, they cut these trees down back in 57 or whatever, right? And so there is a lot that goes into it. So having these conversations, understanding the entities to make sure you have a smooth and conflict-free transfer, that's really part of this financial planning that we do. You know, holding family meetings and setting expectations really is a really practical first step. Structure, how you're going to manage it, all of these things are really important.
Yeah, and to be able to take a little bit of that emotion out of it and treat it like a business, and not like there is an emotion in business, but you really have to kind of put together the right outline and budgets and treat it like, hey, this is ours and we have to manage this in the proper way and really know what the costs are going to be.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we're going to go through this process, if you're interested, not to make a pitch here, but we have a lot of presentations that we do. We do webinars. We do in-person. You know, we talked about singles in retirement and saving the family cottage. If you're interested, go to annexwealth.com/events, and you'll see all of the events that we have. And then we have another one coming up in mid-April called Annuities Worth It? Because we see a lot of people pitching these products and don't understand the cost and the illiquidity of some of these things. So understand what you own, why you own it, and how much you're paying for it.
Very good. Dave, enjoy the rest of the week. Always appreciate your time.
Thank you, my friend.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It is travel season. We are entering peak travel season, without a doubt. It's that time when, you know, you live in the Midwest, you're like, it's time to get away for a while. Although I always say, if I had to pick one month to just leave the Milwaukee I love, I think it would be May. Because when you get to May, you're like, you've had all these wonderful, nice days. And May always seems to be a little bit more funky than you think. You know, when it gets down to 40 degrees in May, you're like, oh, man, get me away. But no matter what, you got to travel well, and Go Right Way helps you do that for sure. Brad Wallace joins us in studio. Brad is the director of sales and marketing at Go Right Way Transportation Group. Brad, I appreciate your time this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me come in here, and thanks for the ZZ Top intro. Did not know that was my favorite band. But
there you go. Nice That's job. Right. That's right. We make our guests good in the seats for sure.
Waiting for the bus.
Yeah. So what's the business look like for you today?
Today it's really wide open. We're picking up from a winter of our core customers, and people are traveling, businesses are traveling. We do a lot of collegiate athletic work.
Okay.
Tours across the country, multiple days and, going across the country. So, this time of the year, you know, spring's emerging, and so are a lot of our customer categories as well, too.
Yeah. I mean, we're living in this rideshare on-demand world right now. And when you look at your fleet of buses and transportation vehicles across the region, how do you kind of manage the competition with the Ubers and Lyfts of the world?
That's a tough one, and it really depends on the customer. So what we sell are private chauffeur transportation vehicles and drivers.
Okay.
And what that means is we employ the drivers, we own and maintain the vehicles. I'm not trying to turn this into a commercial here, but that's the difference. And okay. So when you get into a ride share, there's a little bit of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We are approachable. We're here 24/7. You can pick up the phone or go online. You can talk to a real person. It's not an app. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is that we're not only family-owned, locally locally based, but that is the that's the key differentiation point. You know that, all right, if someone is, you know, if you're concerned about what time they're showing up or whatever, you can give a call and we can give you that that satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Have you sensed that there's, I heard the CEO of Uber a couple of weeks ago talking about, like, one of their things they really want to do at Uber is increase the co-ridership to reduce their costs. People got away from that. They got so accustomed to, hey, here's a single vehicle. It's my vehicle. It gets me from A to B. Is that wanting to be with others as you travel, whether it's bus or Uber? Is that like coming back, because it helps with congestion, right? And it helps on the cost side,
right? And now that's a proposition. It's a tough proposition to sell when people have that app on their phone. They can get picked up in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or they can use our app or go online, mm-hmm. give us a call and arrange for that ride. And you know, there's not a lot of there's no surge pricing in our world and that, in our situation. Yeah. So we're not going to charge any more for a 5:30 in the morning pickup versus a 10 o'clock in the morning pickup. We're also picking up from office, hotel, home, and can take you all of those places mm-hmm. as well, too. Now, while the rideshare app can do that, the rideshare app is probably not going to do that in a way that is as professional. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have come to us and commented to us that said that this is worth the price. It is a little bit more. It is worth the security, and they can tell that the drivers are there for that specific purpose. You know, we have a little saying that we try to try not to make as public, but I'd love to put this on a billboard or something like that. And that is, our drivers wear suits, not sweats. I mean, these guys are professionals, and whether it's a sedan or a large format, full size motor coach, you're going to get a professional driver. We've trained, we've background tested, and all of that. You really don't know what you're getting with that app. And then to answer your question about the rideshare part, that's a real tough proposition when people are used to being able to travel alone and not have to take a detour, so to speak, because then what they're really talking about is a scheduled service. So if you want to set up a scheduled service and you want to curtail to that, and you might have to leave an hour or two earlier than you want, then you might be doing that.
We're talking with Brad Wallace from Go Right Way. Brad, to your point on drivers, I want, when we come back from the break, to talk about recruitment. You know, if what are the strategies as a company that you're looking at? I'm sure there's some driver shortage out there, but there's probably a big pool of people that are like, wow, get me into the industry. What's the flexibility? What's that pipeline? And what do those recruitment strategies look like for you? This is The Upswing. You are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined by Brad Wallace. Brad is with Go Right Way. So Brad, as you look at recruitment and retention from a driver lens, how are you addressing the driver shortage? I mean, there's really a shortage nationwide. And when you kind of hone that in on a regional level, what does that look like for you guys?
It's probably one of the things that we spend the most amount of time on is recruitment. As a company, as a school bus operator across 40 different locations across the state, as well as our commercial services area with motor coaches all the way to the sedans and SUVs, that is probably our number one effort, is retaining, recruiting and retaining drivers and trying to illustrate that we're an employer of choice. Mm-hmm. It's through programs like being flexible. There are some recruitment kind of referral promotions that we have internally because we really feel like the drivers that are driving for us, whether it's in a sedan, motor coach, school bus, are probably going to be hanging out or dealing with or related to drivers that would be just as good as they are. And so we do get a lot of referrals that way. Mm-hmm. And we've tried to be as innovative as possible and try to find new ways. You know, we've experimented with different ways to appeal to the community aspect, that you are contributing to the community and making sure that As a school bus driver or as a motor coach driver, that you're valued.
Yeah. What about the school bus business on your side? How has that changed through the years? And is that a different recruitment process and training process?
Yeah, I mean, that is an intense training process. But let's get back to the recruitment. The recruitment really ramps up in the summer when we are kind of preparing for what we call school startup in August and September. And we're still recruiting even after the school year starts. There's a little bit of a fall off sometimes on people, whether they are, transient and getting other jobs or whatever. But we want to try to make sure that that we're fully staffed at that time. And as far as the training is concerned, what has changed really has been the advent of technology. And so we are able to look at routes and put them on a tablet and have people drive those routes that way. That is also kind of digitized the bus from a standpoint of where it's located, and then we can provide that information in an app for parents and schools. That is something that honestly Uber has kind of brought into the platform and into the industry.
Yeah,
and other bus and transit kind of platforms have done that as well too. So you're looking for, all right, is that bus late? Even if it's 3 minutes late, when it's 15 degrees outside, that's a big difference. So you can track it. And those are things that we're experimenting with and we've actually implemented in some of our districts.
Yeah, I mean, the ability to use technology and data to drive decisions, that's what everyone wants from a consumer lens, but obviously from a corporate lens as well. When we come back, I want to talk about the challenges of expanding Go Right Way services into new regions and new markets and kind of how you plan to overcome those. And then let's look specifically at spring break, how you work with MKE, and what that process is for people to book and use Go Right Way. This is The Upswing. You are listening to WTMJ.
Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, leave.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I'm joined by Brad Wallace from Go Right Way. Brad, so last summer, Go Right Way acquired Westland Bus Lines, transportation provider in Marinette.
That's right.
How do you, when you look at the acquisitions, kind of merge the different corporate cultures and really look at the challenges on, like, how is this market different than that market?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you really need to search for a good fit. Pre-pandemic, there were about 3,000 motor coach operators. After that and present day, there's about half. And so there were a lot of businesses that failed. There were some that kind of held on as long as they could. There are some that are that are potentially aging out. So when we are looking at acquisition opportunities, there's a lot of criteria. Obviously, location really plays into it, and how easy is it for us to kind of expand and kind of support another location? But in the case of Westland and a couple of other acquisitions that we've gone into, these were privately held, family owned, very similar cultures to Go Right Way, and we try not to play that big company type of role where we're coming in. It's like, all right, we know this, we know this, we know this. We know a lot of things and we can consolidate a lot of things, but no one knows the local market better than those operators. And so in Marinette, for instance, there's a couple of key personnel there that have stayed on. Many have stayed on, but there are a couple of key ones there that really you want to make sure that you have that transition team, and then also a team that's going to continue on in operating that location. And then from our perspective, we can bring the expertise, the larger lens, so to speak. And so we've put together acquisitions that have really expanded our footprint into Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and then we're even kind of edging into Minnesota as well with some of our locations, specifically in La Crosse.
All right, so spring break right ahead this coming week for many schools. How do you work with the airport here, and what's that process for people to get picked up at home and get taken to the airport?
Well, the great thing about working with MKE is that at the baggage claim area, we are the only transportation provider that actually has a booth. We're right across from the baggage claim 3.
Okay.
Sometimes it's manned, sometimes it's not, but that's where we have a meeting area for our customers and our drivers. But if you are going with Go Right Way, and you're going to go on your spring break. We're going to be picking you up. It's going to be stress-free, door-to-door, right to the curb, right there. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about anything but starting that vacation right away. And then when you're picked up, we have a chauffeur with a sign, your name on it, as you're coming down the escalator at that baggage claim.
Yeah.
And we just basically escort you to the car and get you on your way, get you out of there.
For spring breaks as a family, we've done the vans. You know, it's just the pickup at, there's three houses to pick up. Mm-hmm. It's easy. Everyone on board. What does that cost approximately? Obviously, it kind of depends where you're going.
So
can you give us an estimate?
Right. If it's going to be in Port Washington, it's going to be one thing. It's going to be in New Berlin or Oak Creek. We're based in Oak Creek. And so everything really kind of comes down to hours and miles. So it was really kind of tough to put a cost on something like that. But right around $100 for a sedan is going to service most of the area out west and north of town as well.
Very good, Brad Wallace, Director of Sales and Marketing at Go Right Way Transportation Group. Brad, all the best with the upcoming travel season, and we'll do this again very soon.
Sounds good.
All right, appreciate your time.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
A decade-old proposal is back for pedestrian bridges over Lincoln Memorial Drive and a gathering space near Discovery World. Now the city, nonprofits, and some businesses explore reviving the concept. The cost? $40 million. Two Milwaukee TV stations could get a new owner. Sinclair Incorporated proposes selling CW18 and My24 to a company called Rincon Broadcasting that's based in Atlanta. Michael Best and Friedrich Law Firm President Reince Priebus lands a high-profile consulting gig. It's at Centerview Partners in New York. He says it has no impact on his role at the Milwaukee firm. I'm Rich Kirchen with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.